If you want to discuss something, whatever it is, I'm happy. Yes.
Keeping that sense of where you came from, going out, it seems that from the stories that we mentioned, it seems that the only way to do that is to actually re-mashkia yourself and learning for 3 months. When you're out there and you're not, and you don't have that opportunity, where do you find that safe?
You know, if a person has, to be more practical, that person's Rabbanus is very well established and he's very well sought after, so he can take that 3 months off and has an assistant. If you take one Seder a week and Skype and learn with somebody who's in Atzol or in Lakewood, if you kaveh one Seder a week to learn B'iyun and to keep writing things, if you kaveh to listen to Shiurim, Shmuzna from people that are from that world, it keeps you connected. You don't lose, you know, the Meshna Knuff doesn't become, you know, your item of value. But the first thing, just realize, a person will say the following, you know, I'm a very effective person, I'm torn to pieces, sitting and learning Ktzeis with my Chavrus and Yerushalayim, in those 2 or 3 hours, I could be saving somebody's Yiddishkeit. Yes, but it's like the same idea where instead of investing in cementing the post down, I keep buying more and more rope. It's like the Mishnah says, when the Anofim are Meruba and the Shrosh and Mortim, the Anofim themselves become the leverage to uproot the. And there have been, you know, there have been people who've really gone past, you know, they've gone to the other side. They meant well, they wanted well, they just got so involved that they just lost it. Yes.
Is there an objective definition of the language of the Torah? The German who was quoted by Reich, is he living falsely now? He has a false idea of what the Torah is.
He has an explanation. The difference in explanation is original language. Like we said, you can explain something well, so that for all practical purposes you have it down right. But the inner flavor and feeling and emotion is not that, and it needs to be something else. So it's a mila. It's a pneumistic mila.
You say the original language that we're saying the Gemara. Could we just
the Gemara Chazal. One of the differences, I don't want to go far afield, but between philosophy and Kabbalah explaining things, philosophy explained Torah in terms of terminology that the world has, so you could do a very good job on it, but it's limited. And Kabbalah is an understanding that comes minei obey. I once saw a sefer, I've been looking for it, and I'm lazy, I know how I can find it, but I've been too lazy to do it. Rav Nosson Tzvi, upstairs in the second floor over there, has all this farm that people sent that he really didn't feel he would use frequently or whatever it is, so there's a huge rolls of spark. I was staying there once, and I picked out a sefer at random, and I found the following. It was a sefer written by somebody very modern. He writes Shtick of Torah, Lomdish Shtick of Torah, and in language it's extremely modern. You know, the like academic type stuff, but Shtick of Torah with Tudinim, but you know, he to approach is a very different flavor. And I remember the name of the person. I was trying to get hold of it because I needed, and it had an Askama from Michael Feinstein. So I was really curious about it. So I read it. You know, you only read Askamas, but this was interesting. So I guess this person has been a friend or supporter of Michael Feinstein. So he read, I went over some of the Shtiklach, and he's I met on the Dvar Nechayim, so he compliments it. He says, but I cannot stop myself from making a certain ha'ara. He says, my chinuch is that the language of Torah also has to be Torah. And this is not the language of Mechunachim. This is not the language of Torah. It's not that the things are right or wrong, but the language of a Shtick of Torah is part and parcel of the Torah. There's a lashon in the Zayah, kahadein kamtza, like a grasshopper, the mashche mineu bay, I think its skin is itself, because it molts and it gives off the skin sometimes. So the skin and the grasshopper are one and the same. It's not another layer. It's kilu, there's a gufa chefte. The divrei Torah, the language of... Well, one of the things that Rav Moshe Pirzachain of Rachel that was so astounding, really astounding, was, I mean, his articulation was extraordinary. his explanation, his command of language, the many places they could draw from, he never ever sounded that he's come from a different world. His kriyach was that divrei Torah were explained minei obey. It never was translating it. He never was even in farish. He brought out the things themselves. It was an incredible kriyach. But it left people, you know, there are other people that can say things similar. It sounds like it's coming from academia. It sounds like it's coming from some dream, spirituality. There are many people that say things, and you say to yourself, you know, I can't say that anything wrong per se with what he said, but the language is just not, it's just off base, something about it. Those are those elements of language. Yes. What?
Who's the Om of American society in contrast to Beisai? When you were talking about the idea of going out to the Om, and here's Beisai, to what level are we in terms of the Om?
So people who are learning Torah full-time means that they're learning Torah b'Torah. When we were kids in yeshiva, there were two tracks. There was Ivris b'Ivris and Ivris b'Yiddish. So the Frum kids would learn Ivris b'Yiddish, they would translate Yiddish. More modern kids learned Ivris b'Ivris. They used to call that Averis b'Averis. So people that are learning, so their terms and their musagim are from within. Torah is a reality in itself. For the people that don't need to translate it, that means it's their language.
Is not describing an emotion? Is that what
a very deep attachment? Yes,
it's attachment. It's not like the etzem.
Yes, but at the end of the day, kedusha to me means what I feel and sense when the word kedusha is said. It's a technical halachas, what's mutter, what's asa, but you know the Rambam is a sefer kedusha which deals with machos asur and surbiya. But at the end of the day, it's meaningful in what my heart and neshama associates with. Yeah.
Has there ever seen someone who had been through the yeshiva system, who you might consider a yeshiva man, but then once he gets out there, you would realize that perhaps the reason why he's going over to the other side is because he never really made the yeshiva system part of himself? Or it's just that he ended up going too far over and was speaking their language too often?
I think, listen, the klal is always, the more it's rooted in you and anchored in you, the more you'll never get away from it. People, once they have a language, at a certain age, whatever other language they learn, it's always with some of an accent, not 100% natural, and so on. So it's always a combination of one or the other. For some people, you know, there were some people, again, I don't want to say names, it's not important, but there were some people who were rooted, but they went out, they got verschleppt in it. Was it because people admired them? Was it came from a sincere wanting to reach out to these people? I don't know. You know, each person was different. But it's something a person has to recognize that you're not even the minute you take the other foot out of this world, you're no longer giving real Torah. So, you know, of course, a person keeps mitzvahs, it's wonderful, but you're beginning already to give them things that are lakui. Yeah.
To put it as a heretic, who says...
To put it as what?
A heretic.
Yeah.
Who says it's important? All right, he's keeping all of the mitzvahs, not doing any errors, and he's bringing it back to Kun Olam. So therefore, everything's Beseder. How do you define this?
I had a chavrusa, a friend, Slon Machasid. So he once asked the Rebbe about staying up the night before the bris. The Rebbe didn't hold a bit. He felt, you know, your mind is out of it, you're tired, this, that. So the Rebbe told him a mashal. This is in Sivah Shalom. He told him that when he was a young person in Baranovich, he learned Baranovich, that's where yeshiva was, so he met a peasant who was a thinker. And the peasant said he'd given a lot of thought to the world and every part of the world. He examined the human body, and for every part of the human body, he came up with a function. Except for the head. He didn't figure out what the point of the head was. And after much thought, he realized the head is the ideal place to hang a hat on. So his point was, you're doing a mitzvah with your hands, with your feet, your mouth, but when you're groggy, you're tired, without your head, a person's neshama, heart, chiyus, is not important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hands and feet. Our hands should put on tefillin, and our neshama not be in it. We shouldn't connect. It's not ma'akiv because it'll bring to it. But how? I mean, do you really think that the head is just there to hang the spadik on? You know, it can't be. And I mean, the Vanessa said, I don't want to quote. I think it should be muskel vision the person that if our most prized that parts of ourselves is the heart and the mind, it must be that that's the prized elements in every mitzvah of Rachmana Liba Bay. Yes?
When does explanation in the language of the people that are receiving, when does that explanation end and we start to be mashbil, the Torah value, to try and explain it to them?
On a practical level, If you never use the Hebrew, if you never say it first in Hebrew and then translate it, so that's explanation. If you keep developing the vocabulary, I understand the downside of using Hebrew words and Yiddishisms when nobody understands it. I get that. There was in Eishet Torah. I used to teach like intermediates of older boys, and then I did one shiur in Derech Hashem for like rank beginners, like people just walked off the street kind of type people. And one of them, he's today himself a mechanic, he told me he used to sit with Sherman and understood them. But I used two words that kept driving him out of his mind. Gashmis and Ruchnis. And he couldn't figure out what in the world it was. So, the using the language, sometimes explaining something, when you want to explain Kedusha to people, so, generally speaking, you have to explain in terms why it makes a better match, not a better match, this, that, the other thing. But sometimes you need to bring out the point, we identify Kedusha by what Kedusha is, and we change our hearts and souls to resonate to Kedusha instead of reinterpreting Kedusha. You can make that point as well. There's a place when a person is ready for it, or you tell them, just feel, and that experience that you had there was Kedusha. Was Tahara, was Torah. Use, like a child, use those experiences. They're not going to come often, but when they do come, they're very, very important to have that. When Rav Shteyman came to Silver Spring, I don't know how many years ago, it was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, he went around America a lot, and we were the last outpost. He made it to us. So I introduced him first. I spoke in English. So I could say what I wanted. Shaman wasn't, and I told them that when the Sfasemis was a very, very young boy, the Chedusha Rim took him to see the Kotzka. And he must have been so young that it didn't even make sense for the Sfasemis. So someone asked the Chedusha Rim, why are you taking him? So he said, Zolazeina Varehit Aymul Alem. Let him see a true Jew once in his life. When you have a yardstick, having even once a glimpse of somebody who's emes is at least it's a model for other things. So having that sense, a person meets a big person, so on, that gives you that yardstick for what's emes. Yes.
This is manipulating by saying it. It seems, I think, correct me wrong, that there's a movement of there's a large group of people out there who are starting to learn Sifrei Chassidus.
Yeah.
See, it's getting more and more popular. Us, as people who plan to go to the Mashpiyim, can we hear a little bit about what the Rav thinks? And is it kedai for us to be studying Kari? Because it seems like that is the language that's talking to people.
So the language that's talks. So two things are very important. When you communicate with somebody else, it has to be in their language. It also has to speak to you. I tell people, what's safe to use? I said, it's very important. A safer that moves you has a lot of kadima over safer that doesn't. To teach somebody else something that really kind of leaves you high and dry, but you think this person might enjoy it, it's hard. If your tone of voice is matter of fact, it's what it says, but if you yourself resonate to it, then Sifrei Chassidus comes in every stripe or shape or whatever you want. And people, it's not really miksha achas, ein adoyma chabad, to Breslov, to Pshischa, to anything like that. Those are all very different worlds. It's important to find a safer that if you heard it from somebody and you feel you got a lot out of it, then it's worth to pass on. If you never heard it, to you it's strange and it doesn't, it's just not move you, there's no point in it really. You know, like Bishabura, whether it moves you or not, you know, I'm saying, whatever it is, it's halacha. These things, it has to move you, and then you have to try to pick out pieces that move the other person.
Is there merit to giving over Torah in the original language, as the Rav says?
Yes.
And even though people might not appreciate it yet, if they appreciate you as a person, and they see that you're a fantastic person, you're wonderful, even though you're not able to speak their language so much, they'll want to listen and they'll want to be part just because of the person that you are.
So the answer is, it is true that, but if where you are is so far from where they are, and if you don't really have the chance, if you have a captive audience, you're the Rav of the shul, and these people must come to shul, whether they like it or not, then okay. But if they're coming here is because they're drawn, so if you have a phenomenal magnetic personality that just come to gaze at you and Kedush and everything like that, then okay. But you have, so that's the thing, if you mix the pitches, if you speak the large percentage of time things they understand, and every so often you allow yourself to say over something, you say, you may not understand it, but this was so deeply meaningful, it then has a shyness. Sorry, yeah.
If the Mechal Tzol, when the Shol gets evenly divided between the Shemir and Caleb and those that are going out,
right,
and those that are going out risk cutting off or losing their anchor,
right,
would that be a silly decision for somebody to take that side of the
option?
You're asking the answer is, it depends what you're good at doing. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, unfortunately. We don't have a Navi and someone that can tell us that. So if a person makes a decision, if the decision is made because I'm such a powerful anchor that I'm an anchor in the Beis Medrash, I'm here Friday and Motzei Shabbos and Sunday and I don't care for much other things and I'm Rosh Ruba in it and this is me, then yes. If I'm a person that has personality and I can go out and do, the shayla of having a little more olam haba, less olam haba, because I might get a little, it's not a good shikul. The real shikul should be, what if I want out of it? What are the kalim I have, and where can I best use them? You always have to ask yourself, and is it an environment that I can survive? But the first, when a person decides if he's going out to war, whether he's going to sit with the kalim or go out, it really should be up to what the person's kokos are. If he's young, strong, and big, he should go out and fight. If he's older and staying there and defending what's there with all those things, that's it. Yes.
I think the question asked before regarding Hasidus was more of, it's become a way of kiruv.
Yeah.
Putting aside the Sfarim used for that method, is the method itself something that...
Well, how would you describe the method?
We don't know.
So let me give you, okay, so let's talk about it a little bit. The point of Hasidus that I think has become positive in kiruv is the idea that experiential Judaism has in itself a much stronger drawn a person than just cerebral, explanations of doing good and so on and so forth. So the singing together, a tish, things that really, really bring out a sense of experiencing emotions, but Yiddishkeit is very powerful. Hasidus, that element of Hasidus did it, and it was very effective. And definitely, that's a very effective. A lot more people, if you do a good kumsitz, a lot more people will get attached than if you say a nice shir. So, bringing in that element, singing together, kumsitzing, speaking spiritual things, late night, that those are very positive elements. So that part of Hasidus definitely is something to learn from. Not everybody has the Koch Kishon to do it, but if you have the Koch Kishon to do it, definitely you should, it's a very positive thing.
That's been done the kumsites and those things that bring out the hargosha and the lay that's been done for a while, it seems that it's become much more than that. It seems that it's become, or it's becoming, that this is how we connect to Yiddish. It's more than just a way to be makar.
So what is it? So explain to me what it is that you're referring to. That's, I'm trying to have a hard time.
Pnimius
Atayra means
Pnimius of a person. Pnimius of a person.
So
instead of just what he's doing.
So again, if the Divrei Torah that have a focus of an emotional attachment to Shmuel, how Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and this is Mechabit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this type of thing, again, those are perfectly valid Divrei Torah, and putting the emphasis on that over other things, if that brings people,
it's
valid.
Mystical.
What?
I guess it's probably more mystical.
But, yeah. So I'm trying to... as we say in Brooklyn, for instance. Good. What's your for instance?
We're dealing with Baal Batim.
Yes.
Growing up, I was in Litvish Yeshiva, so the ikker was a guy sitting and learning Torah.
Yes.
Doing this, learning Torah all day, that was a shpitz, and it is. But there was no way to, I didn't see any mylon in being a Baal Bus sitting and working behind a computer. He was the lowest of the low. He was not considered a shpitz. Being able to teach a person how what he's doing over there is a chash of a zach, and how he's being a kaddish man, he's being taken oil of, and there's an avoidance for every yid in a different place, in a different environment, that not everybody is supposed to be
so a. I interrupt Shlomo. That's not only Chassidus. It's Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch. You know, I'm serious. Of course.
The lesson, the literature, where I went to yeshivas, that's not what they're teaching us.
But it's absurd to teach that to somebody, to tell somebody that no matter what you do, your shagets is not an invigorating message. You know, I'm serious.
Have you found that as you go out to? Like Shmuel or Mossi, because you use the analogy.
Like what?
Like Shmuel or Mossi, right?
Yeah.
The question is,
is Ramat HaGolan, right?
When the person gets back, does he see that just possibly the insularness of staying in the anchor has maybe affected the establishment to the extent that they don't necessarily appreciate what they're supposed to appreciate? And having that broader vision of what talks to Amaratzim has realized that there's maybe a lack in the establishment.
You know, we have a very... Because it probably gave us a fascinating ability. It's incredible. The person is a Bria that reflects so much deeper by the way it's constructed. It's normal, we expect, to see everything two-dimensionally. That's a normal way of looking at things because... Flat screen, example. How does a person sense three-dimensional? How do I know that the outer railing is approximately a few feet beyond and so on? How do I have that sense? So there are a few ways. The primary way is because I have two eyes, and each eye sees something different. The way light strikes this side, right side, and I get two pictures. That's confusing. The brain sits like a computer and says, if the right eye gave you this picture and the left eye gave you this picture, it must be that something is behind something else, and that's why I'm seeing that way. If you ever see those kaleidoscopes that before they invented, you know, any screens, they had these where you can see three-dimensional, you know, when you go to a place, that's how it works. There are two different pictures in each eye, and therefore you're seeing really, and the brain puts together three dimensions. If the question is this right or is this wrong, then it's flat and two-dimensional. And you keep being baffled because this is right and this is right and this is wrong, this is wrong. With time, you begin to understand this, it's like three dimensions, and I can't really say this is right, this is wrong. It's the two together. Had the yeshivas... When I was growing up, yeshivas kamat did not exist in America. So Lakewood was fledging, had 70, 80, and then YU was the only other yeshiva. Everything else was nothing. It was like a handful or two. Sitting and learning was understood to be somebody that can speak a sermon in English. That was a major Talmud Chacham. The concept of what learning is, what Torah is, what that is, didn't exist. I mean, there were religious people, Orthodox people, but very far. Pushing the wheel hard right produced people that understand things, the lomdas and the havana and the tfisa. the natural thing is that that creates a very strong pull to the right. Then people went out and they screamed, Chai v'kayam, look what's out there. You people are living in a dream world. You're burying your heads in sand. There are, you're 10% of the population at best, 90% of the Jews are rapidly assimilated. The emes lies when you can put the two pictures together and see a full thing. That's where the emes lies.
The question of the emes of the ideals. The question is those ideals. I mean, even the concept of only Torah and nothing else.
So I'm saying putting together all, it's three, it depends for whom, for when, how, where, why. That there's Einoi Bilvada, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on, is the emes lamitri. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in a world where it's not like that. And just like I have to live in this world with Teva and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I don't make a mic around my porch and Sami Chasron is hurt, I don't say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He wanted them to be hurt. The answer is no, you're a tzech. You didn't make a mica. People fall off because gravity pulls you off. On the other hand, person has to say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mizam that he came to the porch and I happened not to have a mic at that night. And he was talking on the cell phone, he just walked off and that was it.
I'm asking from the Katzais. I mean, the Shvetzer, if people come out of here and for 10 years they never run a Katzais, does that mean they're a failure? That's the question.
They're not a failure. It's a question of putting together the picture right. I Baruch Hashem, I can't think anybody has a failure. Not for having learned, and not for having gone out.
They caught themselves too much to practice halacha.
So the question is, it says, Bal Yechzer HaMozek. The Sanhedrin woman, Muzogim. In life is about understanding how the right balance of different things. It's like, you know, they have the crazy things in America. Somebody comes up that carrots are healthy. So there's carrot bread and carrot cake and carrot grated and carrot, until the next guy comes out that's unhealthy. So carrot free. And somebody comes along and says, no, maybe one carrot is good for you, but 999 carrots is not good for you. Like people don't realize. You know, the bayetza mazik, wine that's not mazik, you can't mevar, and wine that's overly mazik, you make a shahakol. It's not wine. So somewhere along the line, that's where it is. Yes?
This ability to take our language and be able to present it and translate it to their language, is there any way to develop and nurture that while we're here? Is it something that should be done?
Just like, if this is your goal, just like when you're there, you have to keep on here. If this is within year two or three, you're going out. So learn, teach a group of people in some setting once a week, once every week, who know nothing, and get used to it. I remember the first time I started teaching Yeshiva Torah was the highest group Gemara, and I was baffled at how many things made no sense to them that I thought was perfectly made sense, and I just realized there's so many things I've been used to it that I don't realize, and it was for me a learning curve to try and understand. I remember there's one thing specifically. There was a run that said something, the halacha is something is mutter because of this. So I asked him, so how does the run hold the Gemara? So he says, mutter. He says, no, he holds it's usur. He's saying because of a very specific technical reason. But be'etzen, he holds that. But he says it's a mutter. How do you say it? He says it's usur. And we're going round and round, and I didn't know why they can't get it. And I have, for me, this has been, this is the type of words and thinking that, and this is the type of way people express themselves. I had to explain to them this between the etzim and b'mikra, and this is because of a tam rather than the etzim halacha, and so on and so forth. It does take time, and you're best off learning when it's not your job, but when you can, as they say, there's an expression in Yiddish, you learn to do haircuts on somebody else's beard, not on your own beard. You know, so yes, it's to do some of it. But again, this time should be spent on what you're supposed to do.
Why is Rav not suggesting to be like Shmuel, actually be like Shmuel, and stay in one place and go travel around and inspire people? Or that doesn't really work like that?
Is there
makan for that?
Most people need the person that inspires those people in a is your person. It's the home that welcomes you. It's the person that's there for you. It's the family that's yours. The personal element is. The most, probably the most important part of it. So yes, there are good speakers, go around speaking from place to place, and you see them in the newspaper, and you know, they're fine. Those they inspire you in that. But the most of the kirov is done, not by a speaker who spoke especially, by a person who's there for you. People that you connect to, that you like, that you respect, that you want to be like. And there's nothing to replace that.
So all this idea that Urshan had mentioned about when you're deciding on what to say, you don't necessarily consider only what you want to say, but also who you're speaking to.
Not also, you start with who's you speak to, you work your way back. Yeah, yes.
Application question: if a Balabas offers you an hour of his time a week to learn whatever you want,
yeah.
So how do you convey what to learn with him?
Bederico, it should be something that will engage him the most. If it's a type of person that will like Gemara and the back and forth in it, go with that. What you want to do is he should like that hour. More than anything else, he should enjoy it and look forward to it. And you know, some people like simple Musa, some people like sophisticated Musa, some people like Gemara. And you know, you have to use the right Gemara, so you have to talk about it, argue. The main thing is he needs to feel the thrill of Shagataya. If you have a limited amount of time, the first thing is to get the person engaged with whatever it is that you're learning with him. Okay, yes. I'm sorry, who am I speaking to? I don't know who you...
Darren Margolin.
Yeah.
For people who are in the base medrash and planning to go out and want to retain that anchor later on, is there anything they could do now to intensify their connection to the anchor, to prepare themselves that when they go out, they'll still be anchored better?
I think it's finding the limud that both in halacha and in agada that speaks to the core of them. What's the type of iyun that they really feel brings out the best in them? The thing that they have a zika to, and same thing in agada. Because I think once you identify that, it's easier to keep it going. It has to be something that you really connect to, so that even when you have a hairy time and stuff like that, you still are able to connect to it. I think so. Okay, Beseder Gemara.